Coming up on today's show...
Everything had been taken from me, my material possessions, my communication, my freedom. But no matter what, I knew that my faith was absolute. And that's what I had to hold on to when everything else was taken.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, the SiriusXM app, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can also do catholicsportsradio.com. They will both land you on the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for the free e-newsletter that gets sent out every Monday. Social media for this show, Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those. And then we have the Catholic Sports Radio community. That is the Facebook group. It's the name of the Facebook group. Its members are both listeners and some past guests. There is no cost to join that. The quick way to find it is the big white button that is immediately below my picture near the top of the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. I so enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Every action starts with a thought. If a pitcher hits a batter in a baseball game, was it intentional? Did that athlete plan to target the hitter instead of the strike zone? In football, we see plays where a defensive back will hit what the officials call a defenseless receiver. Fans and media will sometimes call this a cheap shot, but do we know that that's what was in that player's mind before he laid out his opponent on the field? When we act aggressively towards a family member, a coworker, or maybe another driver out in traffic, do we do so with malice aforethought? Before I say only we know what our real mindset was, let's consider first and foremost in all these scenarios, sports and our own daily lives, that God the Father is who we will have to answer to. That, and not a bone-jarring hit, should help with any attitude adjustment that is necessary. In the Old Testament, Psalm 19, verse 15 says, quote, "Let the words of my mouth be acceptable, the thoughts of my heart before you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest played hockey growing up and then went on to not only play junior hockey in Dallas for the Texas Tornado, but from there earned a D1 athletic scholarship to Niagara University. During his freshman year at Niagara, he and two teammates set an NCAA record and made number 2 on SportsCenter's top 10 when they scored 3 shorthanded goals on 1 penalty in 69 seconds. He still today plays in a weekly men's league hockey game. He is the author of the best-selling memoir, Saving Sam, about his having been taken hostage and wrongfully imprisoned while in Syria as part of his travels to every country in the world, all 193 United Nations sovereign states, having attended Mass in 65 countries and visited Catholic churches in approximately 115. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Sam Goodwin.
Hey Bruce, thanks so much. Pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Sam. And for someone who has traveled all around the world, it's most fitting that we start by asking, where were you born and raised? And what was the family size?
Yeah, so I was born in New Jersey, just outside of New York City. My family pretty quickly moved to Ohio. I lived there for about half my childhood. And then later on to St. Louis, where I went to high school. And I'm the oldest of five. I have two younger brothers and two younger sisters.
Okay. Did you grow up in a Catholic household? And if yes, what might Catholic education have looked like for you?
Yes, I did. I'm so grateful to my parents for instilling a strong Catholic faith into my four younger siblings and I. We went to Catholic school our entire life. My brothers and I attended a Jesuit high school and just a big part of our life.
Wow. I only mentioned hockey in the intro. Is that the only sport you played when you were a kid? And regardless of your answer, how did that come to be the sport that you really took to?
Yeah, you know, aside from kindergarten soccer, I think hockey was pretty much it. And same for my brothers and I. And we started at a young age. My mom actually put me as the oldest in hockey when I was, I think 4 years old. Mm. And then it kind of snowballed from there. But that was pretty much where I put a lot of, most of my, athletic time.
But I'm curious. So if your mom put you in it when you were four, were you still living in New Jersey? Because, yes, they have the New Jersey Devils, but I'm thinking of, a hockey hotbed like, say, Minnesota, for example, where, of course, a parent is going to put their child into hockey.
Yeah, no doubt. It was actually in Ohio. We were living in the Toledo area when I started and then kind of pretty quickly started playing, just an hour north in the Detroit area. So that's kind of where that started. Oftentimes in hockey, we talk about the three M's, Minnesota, Michigan, and Massachusetts. So you're spot on with the Minnesota comment.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you mentioned Detroit at the end there because I was scratching my head on Ohio and thinking, no, it's still not registering as a real
right.
a real yeah. proving ground for hockey. But so you played there, and did you kind of take to it right away where you thought, this is something that I really want to stick with? Did you ever lose your interest? Was it, I actually got good really early? Just walk us through that decision that this is the sport I'm going to stick with.
Yeah, I was never the biggest guy on the ice for sure, but I was a decent skater and put a lot of my time into that and was fortunate to be able to have some success with the sport because of my skating. And I think that led to kind of really kind of enjoying, the opportunity to play.
I'm curious as to if any of your other four siblings played hockey or not, because I love hockey and I've always resented the fact that people criticize it as being an expensive sport to start into.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are, probably some less expensive, activities. one of the things, though, is a lot of the NHL teams, they now have these learn-to-play programs where they will provide, young players or new players with full equipment. It comes kind of, it's all in one, and so it's a way to kind of get, make it a little bit more accessible and get people involved, which has been, fantastic to see.
Yeah, no doubt. You lived in Ohio, St. Louis, and Dallas, all before college age, if I have this correct, which, as I said in the intro, college took you to, we'll call it the Niagara Falls, New York area. Tell us about getting settled in there, because on the one hand, you were away from home and could maybe spread your wings a little, dare I say, get caught up in the college life. But on the other hand, Niagara has a Catholic foundation. So did you fall victim to temptation, or was your Catholic upbringing and the presence of the faith at the college enough to keep you on the straight and narrow?
Yeah, I was fortunate to have some success with hockey, with the sport, and was able to earn an athletic scholarship to Niagara University. And I went up there in the fall of 2008. And it's a Vincentian university, so St. Vincent de Paul. And, I would say, it was hockey that kind of was the driving factor of the opportunity to go there. But being immersed into that community, the Vincentian values was also just something that I just really appreciate. There aren't, not every Division I hockey school is a Catholic school, for example. So just really appreciated the environment there.
Wow, that's an excellent point. It's obvious, but to actually hear you say it, that's an excellent point. And I have to believe, I don't want to force my ministry on you, but I have to believe that all your years, Sam, as I said in the intro, we just heard you say you started playing at maybe age four. You moved down to play junior hockey in Dallas. You go on the D1 scholarship to Niagara. I have to believe that faith and sports was coming together, and that brotherhood was really a fellowship for you, especially because of all this Catholic education.
Yeah, I think so. And kind of throughout my career, you know, I would have teammates who were Catholic or you know, teammates that had, you know, we had similar beliefs. And so it's interesting when I reflect back on my career, my hockey career today, some of those teammates are still some of the people who I'm closest with in my life today. I think that, you know, that kind of being rooted in Catholicism is probably at least partly an explanation for that.
Mm. I want to just back up. I should have asked this when you talked about your family, but you were born in New Jersey. You lived in Ohio, St. Louis, Dallas. And of course, we can't count Niagara University because that's going away to college. But New Jersey, Ohio, St. Louis, Dallas, that's four different cities. Was this a military family? What was with all the moving? And how did you maintain that loyalty to practicing your Catholic faith throughout all that moving?
Yeah, so actually, we moved out of New Jersey when I was just 6 months old, and then I moved to Dallas after high school to play junior. So really, it was really, you know, Ohio and St. Louis, and so it wasn't a military family, but yeah, I guess when you say it like that, there was a little bit of moving around there.
Okay. I cannot have someone on the show who was a part of a play that made number two on SportsCenter's top 10. Audience, Sam was good enough to send me the link. I watched the video. I will put the link in the Facebook group so you can go and watch this. But Sam, just indulge me. How memorable was that, especially given that you're a freshman, probably trying to prove yourself? But then also on the faith side, did Satan come creeping around and try to activate the ego to coerce you to fall into big man on campus mode? Look at me, everybody. I made the ESPN top 10 plays of the day.
You know, that, as you mentioned, it was my freshman year. We were playing our crosstown rival, Canisius, and we went on the penalty kill. And you're right, as a freshman trying to prove myself, thankfully had the opportunity to be out there on the kill. It's kind of a situation in a game where coaches put their, you know, more trusted players, I guess, out there. So appreciated that opportunity. And there was kind of an odd man rush, and I went down on a 2-on-1 and shot and scored. And I actually went back to the bench, and the next two goals, as you mentioned, this happened very quickly. It was all in a minute and 9 seconds. The next two goals happened so quickly that I was truly still trying to catch my breath on the bench.
Wow.
Before I really realized what all was happening. And it wasn't until like that night when some of our, you know, media and PR people were saying, hey, you know, this is going to be on SportsCenter. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't really until then where it kind of registered on how quickly that happened and how unusual that was. And so it ended up being number two. I think we lost out to, like, I think Pavel Datsyuk scored like four goals in the third period of a game or something. And it was number one. But yeah, certainly a memorable experience. And I think the, you know, the big man on campus situation, I think, you know, always just tried to be humble and just kind of stick with the plan and stay moving forward. But yeah, that was kind of what I remember from that evening.
I love it. Yeah. And I guess there's also something to be said for having to really share the spotlight with two other teammates. And so it almost becomes kind of 15 minutes of fame and okay, let's move on. You know, we're student athletes. We do have classes to go to.
Oh, totally. I was in class the next morning at 9 a.m.
Friends, this is all fun, but oh boy, imagine traveling and being taken hostage and wrongfully imprisoned. We need to put hockey to the side here and let Sam share his testimony with us. You will hear how his Catholic roots did play a part in his global travel. I would like to think that the Catholic education was certainly a part of that too. Speaking of which, Alliance Catholic Credit Union is a proud sponsor of Catholic Sports Radio, and when you become a member of Alliance Catholic Credit Union, you are helping to support Catholic education. Through Alliance Catholic Foundation, they provide over $50,000 in scholarships every year to families, Catholic high school students, and young people pursuing a college degree. By becoming a friend of the foundation, you help support this work and are eligible to take advantage of all the benefits offered by Alliance Catholic Credit Union. Learn more at AllianceCatholic.com. Alliance Catholic Credit Union, a financial home for Catholics where banking feels like a blessing. Federally insured by NCUA. Please be sure to tell them you heard about them on Catholic Sports Radio. In sports, we talk about great teams. Today, I am inviting you to be part of this one. In fact, someone in the listening audience recently chose to do so. Here is what I am getting at. The late Catholic priest and spiritual writer Henry Nouwen said that giving is a way for someone to place their own heart into God's work. Over the years, guests and listeners have done just that for Catholic Sports Radio, helping make it possible to keep going strong. The latest is Steve Sharman and his wife Brenda, the parents of Catholic Sports Radio episode 373 guest, Clemson University pitcher Michael Sharman. Steve wrote me a truly kind and insightful email, spoken like a true dad, but also supporting my ministry with a financial gift. For more than 7 years, I have shown up every week to do this show, not as a job, but as my ministry. And just like any ministry, it takes resources to keep going, hosting, outreach, administrative tasks, and more. When you give, whether online through the blue Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net, like Steve and Brenda Sharman did, or by mailing a check, you are not just helping with expenses. You are stepping onto the team. You are joining in the calling God has placed before us. Prayerfully consider a one-time gift as part of your tithing. As I am doing today with Steve and Brenda Sharman, I will be honored to thank you publicly or keep you anonymous if you prefer. Together, we can share Christ's light through the world of sports. Sam, I don't know what we're all in here for emotionally. I'm tempted to use the fasten your seatbelt expression. Maybe ease us into this first. I'm going to give us all a chance to really make sure that you have our undivided attention when you share about what happens in Syria. So instead, first, take us back to before that. What was the impetus for deciding, I want to visit every country in the world? And how planned, how organized, how formal was or wasn't your approach? And maybe, even though we already know you visited churches, how prayerful might you have been about executing the vision for all that?
Thanks. So one thing I'll quickly mention is I just heard in your ad there about Steve and Brenda Sharman. They're actually friends of mine, which is kind of a small world.
Wow.
Fantastic in Atlanta. And can't say enough nice things about them. But my hockey career really came to an end primarily because I had some pretty bad concussion injuries. Hmm. And I had post-concussion syndrome for almost a year. And kind of, you know, brought things to an end in a way that at the time I didn't like, but turned out to be a blessing in disguise for a range of reasons, as I think we can relate to. But when I graduated from Niagara in 2012, I ended up taking my first professional job. It was not hockey. I took my first professional job in Singapore. I'm working for a tech startup business. And I originally only planned to be there for about 3 months, but I ended up staying for 6 years.
Whoa.
And it was a fantastic opportunity, a great way to begin my professional career. And during this time, I just traveled as much as I could. I was in my early 20s, curious, and had the world's best airport in my backyard. So just, you know, weekends, holidays, any opportunity I had away from work, I just traveled as much as I could. And just personal preference, I didn't like to repeat places. So even if I went somewhere and had a fantastic experience, you know, the next weekend, the next holiday, the next opportunity I had, I would just go somewhere different. And so I put this formula into play for about 6 years. And in early 2018, I realized that I had traveled to about 120 countries Whoa. In the world. And it was at that point when I remember thinking, well, how many are there? the competitive, you know, maybe I could go to all of them. The competitive athletes, like setting goals and working toward achieving them. And so I did a little bit of research, and I learned that there are 193 fully recognized UN sovereign states. And you know, as I mentioned, that was when I thought, well, maybe I could go to all of them. And the journey kind of evolved from there.
Okay. Wow. Well, I do admire, you know, your vision that way. And yes, certainly you can sense the competitor in you that came out. So having heard all that, go ahead and take us through the Syria experience now.
Yeah, sure. So after traveling to 180 of 193 countries in the world, I mean, it was May of 2019, the next place I was going to travel to was Syria. And just 2 hours after arriving, I was walking through a roundabout on the way to meet up with my guide when all of a sudden a black pickup truck roughly pulled up next to me. Two armed men jumped out of the back seat and instructed me to get inside. And thankfully, they weren't violent, but I didn't have a choice. And I was scared, confused. I had no information or anyone to help. I was desperately trying to figure out what was happening. And the officers in the vehicle, they accused me of espionage, of being an American spy and elaborating terrorists. And they went on to hold me for 9 weeks in some pretty uncomfortable situations, which I'm happy to talk about. But thank God, thanks to a long list of people who worked tirelessly, on July 26th, 2019, I was released and was able to come home.
Oh my gosh. Do you happen to know, clearly it was, I'm going to call it mistaken identity. It's really the wrong expression, but do you know if what you experienced was common, because there you were, someone that's, whoa, I'm just trying to see every country in the world. Do you know if that's common, that they do grab people because they think this is an American, they must be up to no good?
Yeah, there could have been some of that. It could have been travel history. It could have been wrong place, wrong time. I write a little bit about in my book how I was actually on FaceTime with my mother when I was kidnapped. And so that could have also been part of the equation. So there were kind of a range of things at play, and it could have been, you know, one or all of those or something different.
Forgive my ignorance. Did this get all the way up to the level of the federal government being involved, or was this, no, Bruce, fortunately, I had family and friends that were somehow able to get me out of it?
So my family worked, very closely with the U.S. government. They're a normal family from St. Louis, but this kind of escalated to that point. It's kind of the highest levels of the U.S. government. President Trump talked about it in the Situation Room, trying to get an American home. One of the challenges is just there's a lack of diplomatic ties between Washington and Damascus. So the U.S. government, very supportive of my family, very capable. It was just a challenging situation because of the nature of the political landscape.
Okay, so now let's focus on the first word in the name of this show, Catholic Sports Radio. Were you prayerful during this time? Was there an opportunity? Were you being constantly watched and fearful that, oh boy, all I got to do is make the sign of the cross and they're going to come for me? Just walk us through the spiritual element of your Syria story.
Yeah, everything had been taken from me, my material possessions, my communication, my freedom. But no matter what, I knew that my faith was absolute, and that's what I had to hold on to when everything else was taken. And I leaned on a range of things for strength, from leaning into gratitude, controlling what we can control, recognizing kind of the uncertainty of the situation as an opportunity. But I can't say that anything was more important than my faith. And what I learned was that faith isn't always easy, but it is always available no matter what.
Ooh, wow. Wow, I love that. I love that. How easy or difficult was it? I think of when I was in a motorcycle accident, people would whisper, he'll never get back on a bike. How easy or difficult was it for you to get that behind you and say, okay, there's still countries on my list, though?
Yeah, I after several months of reflection and putting things into context, I became very committed to not letting what happened here conquer me. And I think some of that was probably career as an athlete. Again, after several months, I'd put so much time and energy into the travel journey, but I did have, lots of conversations with my parents and my siblings and others who worked on the case. And, I told my mother I wouldn't go anywhere else until she was okay with it. But at the same time, they knew, this had become something that was important to me. So it was a balance there. But I did end up completing the travel journey on December 31st, 2019. And actually, my final country was the nation that is home to more Catholics than any other in the world. It was Brazil.
Fantastic. And yes, audience, I did get back on a motorcycle just to close the loop on my story. Sam, your book is called Saving Sam. An audience, on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net, I am going to put a link to Sam's website so you can go check out the book as well as more about him. But tell me, Sam, share with us, is Saving Sam solely about the Syria experience? Is it your entire life story? Is it only the visiting 193 countries and what happened in Syria? Tell us about the book.
Yeah, thanks. The book is primarily about what I experienced in Syria and what my family experienced. I'm trying to bring me home. However, in order to tell that story, there is a lot of context that's brought in, including, you know, my travel journey, which, you know, hockey was a big part of that. I played a lot of hockey overseas in Asia, which I never could have expected. I spent a week coaching the North Korean national hockey team, which you never could have expected hockey to take me to a place like that. So it is about kind of these other, you know, my family and the journey, but primarily kind of about what happened to me and my family's kind of fight to bring me home.
You made a great statement a few minutes ago about your faith is always available to you. You are a very active Catholic speaker. When you go and speak to audiences, is it, here's what happened to me in Syria, and then the lesson is that statement that you just made, or is there some other message that you deliver to Catholic audiences when you go out as a speaker?
To Catholic audiences, typically my message is centered around how God will use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And that's really rooted and kind of supported by the story of the way that my family brought me home, you know, despite the U.S. government and others kind of being unsure exactly how to move forward. It was actually my family who was able to make some connections to get an American hostage released from captivity in the Middle East. And that's typically kind of where I kind of tie in a message.
It's all great testimony, and unless you're going to say, sorry to let you down, Bruce, but yeah, that did happen. Nowhere, audience, did we hear Sam say, I gave up on my faith, I was mad at God, I sat there in Syria shaking my fist at the sky saying, why did you let this happen to me? So it really is great testimony, and again, his book is called Saving Sam, and the story is in there. I'm sure there's obviously Catholic elements to the book, too.
Yeah, absolutely. The faith element to the story was central to both my story on the inside and my family story on the outside, and it's a big part of the story.
Okay, we have fallen away from talking about sports. So as we as we start to wind down, you say that you still play hockey, quote, for fun, exercise, and networking, end quote. I love that description.
Yeah, thanks. I actually I still play quite a bit. It's a lot better than running on a treadmill. And it's also a great way to meet people. As I mentioned, you know, that was probably my primary way of meeting people when I lived overseas, and continues to be a great way to do that today. So, you know, the game's done so much for me, and I just feel so fortunate to be able to continue playing.
Yeah, and I think the expression I would use is the exhale that you get from going out there and playing, right? Because all this story that you carry around with you, all the work that you do to share this message, all the testimony that you're sharing, it's a little heavy at times to carry around. And you can go out there and you can exhale and say, you know what? It is going to be great exercise and I'm just going to have fun. I'm playing as an adult. This is no longer something where I'm playing for a trophy.
Yeah, absolutely. It is kind of an interesting transition for a few reasons, you know, going from being a competitive athlete to kind of a recreational athlete, so to speak. But you're right. Being out on the ice is familiar. It's comfortable. It's a place that I've spent countless hours in my life and, you know, would be a different person today without it.
Let's close by having you share with us about your wife, how long the two of you have been in the sacrament of holy matrimony, as well as the family that the two of you have made.
Yep. So my wife's name is Natasha, and we live in Tampa, Florida. She is the head of marketing for an organization called Young Catholic Professionals, which now has, I believe, more than 40 chapters around the United States of people in their 20s and 40s who come together for networking events and speakers. And so she is their head of marketing. We have been married since November of 2025. And as I mentioned, we are living right downtown in Tampa, Florida.
Outstanding, outstanding. Sam, I have to say, I'm just heartbroken that you had to go through what you had to go through to give us the testimony that you did. But the book, the testimony, thank you for sharing it all with us. And I really appreciate you making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio.
Yeah, thanks so much, Bruce. And, you know, an uncomfortable and challenging time, but truly so many positives that have come from it. And that's kind of where I'm focused today.
Outstanding. Outstanding. And audience, we did get to talk a lot about all the hockey that Sam has played over the years. So let's close today's episode with a player prayer and do that together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, let me play well, but fairly. Let competition make me strong, but never hostile. Forbid me to rejoice in the adversity of others. See me not when I am cheered, but when I bend to help my opponent up. If I know victory, allow me to be happy. If I am denied, keep me from envy. Remind me that sports are just games. Help me to learn something that matters once the game is over. And if through athletics I set an example, let it be a good one. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.